Amen. If you have your notes, you can get those out. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to do a little, I'm going to do a few messages on relationships, dealing with difficult people, talking about dealing with difficult people. So I know many of you guys deal with some difficult people at work, maybe at home, maybe wherever, you know. So we're going to talk about dealing with difficult people. And this morning, we're going to start it off, we're going to talk about dealing with critical people. How many of you know some very critical people? Raise your hand. We all do, you know. And the truth is, all of us deal with criticism, deal with critical people at times. The question is, how do we deal with them? How do we deal with critical people? And so, some of you know the story about Jesus. This is the best way to deal with critical people. Remember when Jesus went into the temple and with the money changers, and he just braided a whip and he just turned the tables over and, you know, started hitting people with the whip, maybe? That's how we deal with critical people, okay? That's the message this morning. I'm just kidding. That's not true. Seriously, criticism, it's something we all deal with. It can hurt. We all are criticized at times. You know, if you step out to be a leader, you step out to try to do something for God, you're going to face criticism. You know, we have a spiritual enemy that wants to use people. You know, we think that Satan wants to come in wearing, you know, with little horns and a pitchfork, but he many times comes in wearing pants or a skirt. Amen. And so, you're going to face criticism, you know, and if you step out to be a leader, you're going to really be criticized. I remember the first time I was in the ministry, I was part of this church plant here in Jacksonville a long time ago. I went and planted a church up in Atlanta a few years ago, and some people didn't. I found out not everyone's going to like you. I had some ladies in my church, you know. I went over to visit, several families that I didn't see them for a while, so I went to pay them a visit at their home, and I was bushwhacked by five ladies on the front porch, man, just letting me have it. They just, you know, just attacked me, saying they didn't like this, didn't like this, they didn't like this, and I was like, man, I got baptized into leadership real quick with that, you know. So we're going to face criticism, okay? And so all through the Bible, we see leaders are criticized. Moses, he was criticized by his own family. You know, they said he married the wrong person. If somebody in your family says you married the wrong person, welcome to Moses Club, okay? He was criticized for leading the people out of Egypt. In fact, the people complained, they murmured, they said, we want to go back to Egypt where we can eat leeks and onions. You know, so he delivered them, and then they wanted to go back. And then Apostle Paul, he was criticized. They said he was a hypocrite. They said he was a bad teacher. They said he was had a poor appearance. They said he was a poor speaker. That was Apostle Paul. Jesus, the Son of God, was perfect in everything that he did, and yet he was criticized. They said, this man eats with tax collectors and sinners. And so he was criticized. So every one of us, we're going to face criticism. Excuse me, the question is, how are we going to deal with it? How are you going to deal with when you're criticized at work or criticized in your family or by a friend? And the key thought for today is that praise and criticism are windows to the heart. Praise and criticism, are windows to the heart. And so Ecclesiastes 7:5 says this, it is better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. It's better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. So praise and criticism tell us a lot about what somebody believes. Let me put it this way. Praise, it often reveals what you value the most. Example, if I said, man, I really love John Wyatt, I love those shoes. Man, those things are cool. I used to wear those in high school. They're van-looking shoes, like Vans. You know, that means I value his shoes. Yeah, you know, if I like trucks, so when I see nice trucks, I'm always like, man, I like that truck. That's nice looking. It shows you when you praise somebody, it shows you what you value. It often reveals what you value the most. Criticism, on the other hand, often reveals your deepest insecurities. When a person criticizes you, it often shows where they're insecure. And so I remember one time I was preaching and somebody wrote on a card. This was when everybody first started wearing their shirts out, untucked. So somebody wrote on the card, you know, the fashion police are after you. I was like, I thought this was what you're supposed to do, you know. And so I was even at the town, so I even went to Banana Republic. I said, so tell me the deal with the fashion. Okay, is it in? Is it out? Would you wear your shirt? But what criticism does, it reveals someone's insecurities in their own hearts and their own life. Jesus put it this way. He said, how can you think of saying, let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Okay, so why is it that people can be so critical to us? Many times it's because they don't like themselves. Many times it's in order to validate or build their own self up. And what I found that many times people who are the most critical are the most miserable. It's really an issue of their own hearts. So some of you, maybe you grew up with parents who were critical. You know, and you could never live up to the standard that your dad or your mom had set for you. And it affected you deeply. Maybe some of you are in a marriage that's characterized by criticism, nitpicking. You know, maybe it's at work and your boss is constantly criticizing you. He's overly critical. And maybe it's friends that you have that are critical. So how do we deal with criticism? How do we deal with it? In your notes, we're going to look at two wrong responses and three right responses to dealing with criticism. So the first wrong response is to fight. And you guys know what I'm talking about when your heart starts to beat a little faster, your blood pressure starts to rise. Okay, and you know, somebody says something critical, and your first instinct is to fight. Okay, and I know this has happened to me. I mean, there was one time someone in my family said something to me. I'm telling you, I saw stars. I don't know if any of you have ever been there before, but like my blood pressure rise. I saw stars. Like lights were flashing. I was so angry. Adrenaline was coursing through my body. And so that many times that can be the first response is to fight. And then you can tell when you have this because you replay this situation over and over in your mind. Man, I should have said this. If I see that person, I'm going to say this. Why'd they say this? I could have said this, this, and this. You know, if I would have said this, this would have really got them. You know, you want to, that's a wrong response. A second one is flight. And what this means is when someone criticizes you, they hurt you, you want to keep a distance from them. These are natural responses, but they're the wrong ones. You want to keep a distance from them so they never hurt you again. You want to run away, keep a distance. And so let's look at three right responses to criticism this morning in your notes. The first one is to listen. If we're going to be who God's called us to be, we've got to listen to our critics at times. And we talked about a few weeks ago having a teachable spirit. The scripture says open rebuke is better than hidden love. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. So if someone loves you, they love you enough to tell you the truth. That's a gift if you have someone in your life that's going to tell you the truth. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. So how do we know when to listen? Because we certainly don't want to listen to everybody, do we? And so we want to listen to people when their motive is to help and not just to hurt. So, you know, a lot of us, we struggle with our weight. You know, I have a friend, and I told him this week, I said, listen, man, I really want to help you with your weight. I said, whatever I can do to help you, let's do it together. And my motive was to help him. I love him. I want to help him with his weight. And I think he knew that. You know, but what if, so he could have taken that one way, he could have taken it as a criticism, right? But he knew my heart. He knew that my motive was to help him, so he listened to me. He said, okay, let's do it. Now, what if I would have came up to him and said, hey, man, you need to put that Krispy Kreme down because you're way too fat, bro. How many of you know? That, my motive would have just to be to criticize him, you know? And so the first is to decide, you know, is it to help? Or is it to hurt? What's the motive behind this? I remember I told y'all last week, I told y'all a couple stories about when I was young and I was dating my wife. I'll tell you a quick one that I still have. The one I told last time was when it was one of our first dates, and I uttered these words after I was finished eating that I still have not heard the end of. I said, "Are you done yet?" Still, don't ever say that to a date, okay? She hasn't forgot that one. Here's another one that was even worse. I said, this is when we were really young. We were dating in college. Her roommate had a treadmill. Oh, you know where I'm going now, don't you? And so I wasn't even thinking. I said, we were doing something or we got back or something. I said, why don't you jump on that treadmill for a while? Oh, I don't know where it came from. I mean, I don't know what it, my motive was not, I just said, I don't know. Still, to this day, she says that. She still brings that up. That was 20-something years ago. Don't say that. Don't say that. And so is the motive to, is it to help? Is it sincere? You can also, can this person really help you or not? You know, and so you can listen. When this person really wants to help, you can listen. The scripture says if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. If you reject criticism, you will only harm yourself. And so if we're going to grow, if we're going to change, we have to listen to criticism. People who are speaking truth into our lives, iron sharpened iron, that's a gift. That's how we're going to be stronger and get better. A second right response to criticism, but before I get into that, I'll tell you this. You know, the best people to receive criticism from is people you're in a relationship with, right? When you know someone loves you, it's easier to receive from them, right? The second right response to criticism is just to answer. When do we answer the criticism? Many times people are just missing information. They're just missing information, and if they had the right information, it would change their perception. In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, the Ephraimites asked Gideon, "Why have you treated us like this?" And they criticized him sharply, but he answered them. Sometimes you just need to answer the critic, and he can be diffused or she can be diffused when they get the information. You know, and, you know, I don't know if you know this, but pastors are often criticized. Did y'all know that? Church leaders are often criticized. And so many times people will criticize the worship. It's too long. It's too short. The sermon was too long. It's too short. It's too shallow. It's too deep. Too many scriptures. Not enough scriptures. The worship was too loud. It was too soft. It was a different, people want a different style. You know, and sometimes people, they just need a little more information. The question I would ask is, are you a consumer or are you a worshiper? Did you come to worship Jesus or did you come to be a consumer? Amen. Sometimes people just need their perspective changed a little bit. They need a little more information. And so sometimes they just don't have, and many of us have been guilty of judging people's motives without all the information. It's easy to do, isn't it? Many times we'd say, I know why they did that, I know why this happened, but we just don't have the full picture. We don't know all the information. It's real easy to judge motives when we don't have all the information, and many times it's just not true. So the first reason we answer is when people, they just need some information. But the second time a second reason is when people are truly open to change. Because some people, criticizing people, it's like their hobby. I like to play golf. Some people like to criticize. It's just a hobby with people. Some people, that's what they like to do, and we don't want to waste any time with them, you know. And so some people, they're just overly critical. It's what they do. It's who they are. I call it a fault-finding spirit. And so, you know, if this gets into a marriage where, you know, spouses are criticizing each other, nitpicking each other, you'll never have God's best for your relationship. And I find that, and as marriage couples, we can get into a habit where we're criticizing and nitpicking. There's a place for expressing opinions, right? because we value each other. We have opinions. There's a place for expressing what we want. But listen, if it turns into a overly critical thing, nitpicking, tearing each other down, God just can't bless that. People are going to harden hearts to each other. And the third response to criticism is just to dismiss it. This is the people we're talking about that's overly critical. You know, some people think that that's their spiritual gift is to criticize. Yeah, you know, and so, and people who are overly critical and they think it, some people even equate it to godliness, that they can criticize, they can fault find, they think it's a spiritual thing, they think it might be like discernment. But if we are overly critical, first of all, if that's you, if you find yourself being overly critical, I would warn you this morning, because words are powerful. Words are like seeds, and you want to be careful what you're sowing. You want to be very careful criticizing your spouse, your children. You want to be careful criticizing spiritual authorities, speaking against those in spiritual authority that you don't know the real story, but you're just talking, you're criticizing. God, the scripture teaches us, God does not take that lightly. Amen. So we want to be careful. We want to guard our tongues and our hearts, okay? And so we dismiss the criticism when a person is just overly critical. And that's just who they are. They criticize everything. Another reason we dismiss a criticism is when someone is unhealthy or wounded. We don't dismiss the person. We love the person, but we dismiss what they might be saying. Okay, because why? Hurting people do what? They hurt people. And so many times, people are going through a difficult season. They're hurting, you know, and so it's easy for them to criticize out of their hurt. And Jesus, he had to understand this. He had to do this all the time. He replied, "Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be rooted up, so ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. They will both fall into a ditch," he said. So we just learn to dismiss them. We learn to let them go. And so I've learned the more effective you are, the more you'll be criticized. The more successful you are, the more you will be criticized. The more above the radar you are, the more you're going to be criticized. And so we got to learn just to dismiss criticism. It can hurt deeply. I remember I got an email one time from someone that I knew and that was in our church that I really respected and loved. And he was just, it was very critical, it was very hurtful. And it affected me for a few weeks. And I had to learn, I had to just go to a place with God and just learn to release that, learn to dismiss that. And you don't feel like it. It's even harder when you've been criticized by someone that you truly care about and you love. Someone far away from you, they really can't hurt you as much. But it's, Judas was one of the 12. He was one of the ones that was close. And so that's the one that's going to bring the most pain. But we've got to get to a place where we release criticism to God. It's going to happen. We release it to God and we choose to bless. We release. So here's it's a closing thought, okay? We can't please all the people, but we can please God. And we've got to learn to live for an audience of one. We don't get into people pleasing. We can't be driven by what other people think. Paul said this, "For we speak as messengers who have been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God and not people." So here's the end. Here, listen to the closing ideas that we talked about here. We will listen to the criticism when someone cares about us. We will answer the criticism when somebody needs more information. And we'll dismiss the criticism and we'll let it go when someone criticizes us wrongly. Amen? Here, let's say a prayer together. Father, I just thank you for the men who came here this morning. God, you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them. Father, as we are criticized, God, I pray that we would just deal with it in a godly way. God, we wouldn't lash out in anger. God, we wouldn't internalize it and let it bring us down, God, but we would just answer it with wisdom God. And I just pray for these men, God, that they would, I pray that scripture that says, how do we seek to please men or God? For if we seek to please men, how can we be servants of Christ, God? And I pray you just set us free, God, that we would serve an audience of one, and that we would have godly responses to criticism. We wouldn't be afraid, God, but we would step out to do what you call us to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Can you have an announcement?